Earlier this year, Governor David Ige joined us in our Kaheka Street studios to talk about his priorities for Hawaii during this last term in office. On the list, state-funded preschools. Can we make preschool an option for everyone? And affordable condominiums on state land across the entire state. What's being done to accommodate the working class? Some of the issues on the governor's wish list aren't faring so well, including his cabinet members that he was hoping would get reconfirmed. But he is hopeful during these last few weeks of session that he makes some progress. Today, we revisit that interview.
We are really focused on what we believe we would want to see happen in our public education system. And just speaking with all of the early childhood experts, it's pretty clear that having pre-K programs, because we do have students who come into the public education system who are just not ready for kindergarten. And our ability to have public pre-K programs will really help us help our children in the best way possible.
And so how will it work for the neighbor islands? Will there be an emphasis there?
Well, I mean, I think that when we look at access to pre-K or early learning opportunities here in the state as it exists today, definitely we don't have enough service providers on the neighbor islands. And so we are looking at prioritizing where the need is heaviest. So we do see a huge need on Molokai, Lanai, Kauai, Maui, Hawaii Island. So we would be looking at those areas. We are also looking at those schools with high populations of free and reduced lunch, disadvantaged children, and seeing what we can do to help increase access and increase classrooms in those areas.
Right, and I know the idea is to hopefully move some of those sixth graders to middle school so that you could free up some classroom space.
Right, and I think the real focus is, you know, we make a significant investments in our schools statewide. So let's be smart about how we utilize those facilities. We want to be able to add pre-K programs in each and every one of our elementary schools. And what is the best way to do that? And, you know, going to the middle school concept, if we have space available, if the elementary schools can accommodate the pre-K classes as is, then we can do that. If they're not, then let's look at changing to pre-K to 5 and realigning the middle school so that we can get classrooms, early education classrooms, as quickly throughout the system at the most reasonable cost.
Governor, your wife is an educator, so I'm sure you've heard lots of stories about what happens in the classroom and what happens on the school level.
Yeah, certainly, and she has been working with the department. You know, she is part of this No Child Hungry program. You know, national governors have really looked at breakfast programs and trying to see how we can get and increase participation for those who qualify for free and reduced lunch and making sure that they can get both breakfast and lunch in their public schools. And so certainly this is kind of an extension. It's not children who would qualify for free and reduced lunch, but I do believe that the more we can assure that our children are fed, the better outcomes we'll have from on the academic side as well.
But again, the whole preschool program, you think there will be the emphasis on the neighbor islands where the need is greatest?
Certainly.
Okay. Switching gears then for affordable housing, your idea about building condos on state land, can you elaborate on that?
You know, certainly. I think that over the first 4 years in my first term, we have really focused on housing, and we have been meeting quarterly with developers and nonprofits and advocates for affordable housing. And we've really retooled the state programs, the low-income housing tax credits, tax exemptions for GET tax exemptions for building low-income affordable rentals. We are well on our way. You know, we've delivered more than 6,600 units so far in the first 4 years of this administration, and we're tracking about 7,000 additional units. And so, you know, we have developers who focus on affordable rentals that have been very active and supportive of the program. And we feel pretty good about where we are. We know that there's a huge demand and we need to keep pushing forward. But we are going to be building many affordable rentals throughout the state. So this year, we really looked at what's the next step. And it came up that people want to buy. I mean, people want affordable homes that they can buy so that they can begin to build equity. And as their family grows, they would want to be able to move into a bigger home. So I am proposing in this legislative session the authorization for 99-year leases. And I know that when we've spoken and in our roundtable with the advocates for affordable housing, they say that the cost of land in the islands automatically makes housing unaffordable. So anytime that you have to factor in the cost of the land in the cost of price of a house or a condominium, it will not be affordable. And so our proposal is to make state lands available for 99-year leases to developers of affordable houses for sale. And the whole notion is that we would want to try and structure a program for shared appreciation so that those who qualify can purchase an affordable condominium. If they outgrow the unit, they can resell it, but we're going to determine what the parameters, you know, maybe adjust the price for consumer price index or other measures so that when it gets sold the second time, it will still be affordable. And then any appreciation is shared between the original owner and the state so that we can reinvest in affordable, more affordable condominiums for sale. And, you know, we believe that we've looked at other jurisdictions that have done similar projects. And we're excited because we believe that we can structure a program that will allow us to have affordable housing for sale, affordable condominiums. And I think most importantly, we can structure a program that allows it to be resold to someone else who qualifies at an affordable price in the future, and that we share the appreciation in the unit with the original purchaser and reinvest in more affordable condominiums moving forward.
Can you share with us, like, what are the areas you're looking at? I mean, just in town, I know there's that one parcel that the state owns by Ala Park. And that's been vacant forever.
Right. I mean, I think that we're looking at a couple things. And we just published the state action report where we had participation from all of the counties in the planning to identify state and county lands and private sector lands that are ready for development. So, you know, we've kind of gone through the inventory. If they have access to water, if they have access to sewer, then we've said they're higher priorities because they're ready to go. So we are looking at state lands along the transit route. We're looking at transit-oriented development on the neighbor island. So we've encouraged the counties to designate transit hubs for bus service and other things so that we can organize and develop housing around those transit hubs across the state. So
what about the neighbor islands?
Yeah, so certainly when we say transit-oriented development, we do mean neighbor islands. And for example, you know, in Wailuku on Maui, Kahului City Center has been designated as a transit hub for the future. And so we are developing affordable rentals and affordable housing in those areas in anticipation that it will become a bus center in the future.
Okay, so not just Oahu centric.
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, we do see a greater need in the neighbor islands, and we are developing housing, affordable housing, all across the state.
That was an excerpt from our Collins show earlier this year with the governor, an example of some of the different projects we're undertaking here on The Conversation. Another reason to support Hawaii Public Radio.